have, I want to follow him and follow the dictate of the lead of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to say a few things tonight just on my heart, and that'll be what I'll say if God will help me tonight. You know, the Corinthian church, they had a real problem with fallen man, and they said, we're of Apollos and we're of Paul. And in verse number 5, chapter 3, he said, who then is Paul, and who is Paul Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, there was a minister of the gospel that God gave to every man. Let me say this tonight, that Apollos was a good man. Now, he was an eloquent speaker, and the Bible said that it was Aquila and Priscilla talked to him about, amen, the way of God. They knew the baptism of John, but did not know the way of God the way they knew it in grace. Amen. But he was talked to him by them too. And of course, Apollos took it in. And brethren, God, they searched the scriptures whether them things were so there in Berea, I believe it was. But they was used of God to help this preacher. And this is my thoughts tonight about Apollos. I believe Apollos was a very elegant, polished preacher. Amen. And I believe that because of that, it captured these people. And when Paul went behind him, Paul was just who he was. He was a very intelligent man, but he never used them things that he had trusted in. Amen. As a Pharisee in the gospel, he said that. He said, listen, I could speak more tongues than y'all, but it wasn't about that. I'd rather speak five words of understanding. And all these things, he said at the feet of Gamaliel, he said them things were done. There wasn't no profit in it as far as winning Christ. But he did know, he said, now this is just what I've read, that Paul was a short, heavy-set man, bald-headed, amen, and had bushy eyebrows, amen. He wasn't somebody that charmed people. He just told them what God said. Amen. Listen, you didn't ain't what you look like on the outside. It's who you have on the inside. It don't really matter. God don't have, listen, amen. Some pots might look better than others, but they still carry the water. Amen. And far as I'm concerned here, Paul was saying, listen, that's not me or Apollos. Amen. I like verse, it just kills these people that want these titles. In verse 6 and 7, he said, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. He said, we're not anything. It's God that gives the increase. In verse 7, then now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. It's all one. What we do is one. We sow, you sow, and we all do this. It's one body and one work. This is what he's saying. And he said, we're one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. He used the word own in them scriptures. For verse 9 is a key verse. For we are laborers together with God. He's put us in that ministry or that work where we're laborers with God. And notice what he said, you're God's husbandry. And can I say this tonight? He's saying here, you're God's property. Amen. You're his farm. You're his land. You're his everything. Amen. And then he said this, and you are God's building. Amen. That means that you're the building of God tonight. And you're his structure. You're his architect work. Amen. And then he said this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. And let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so he said the foundation's Christ. Paul preached Christ. Now, if you go through the scripture here and what Jesus said and what Paul preached, it was always about his people. It was about his believers. It's about his church. And listen, and I've got to thinking on these things, and you come talk to me after service if I miss this, and I can miss it. But I never found one place in the scripture where anybody went out and invited them to their assembly. They went out and preached Jesus. Nobody went and said, would you come to the assembly at Jerusalem today?
Listen, I studied it out. I asked my wife this on the way to the house of God tonight, and I am the house of God. That's just language. But can I say this? Hey, God, in Luke 14, that man made a great supper. And remember them men made excuses. I thought bought land. I got to go see it. And I oxen. I got to go plow them. And then he said, thank God, he said, I married a wife and I cannot come. That's the only justifiable reason, Jonathan. Amen. You couldn't be here. Amen. In fact, the first year they couldn't. Amen. They took care of the wife. They didn't go to war, nothing. They stayed home. And brethren, they took care of their wife. But they use them excuses and have me excused. And remember, he said, thank God, to go out and get some and bring them in that my house may be filled. That house wasn't talking about the house of God. Listen, that was a supper, friend. It was a supper. Amen. If you go to Matthew 22, it's the same record. It was a supper. It was a marriage supper. Amen. That's what they're talking about. And I really don't know exactly what, but I know it wasn't inviting people, thank God, to what we would say the assembly. It was an invitation to a supper. Listen to me tonight. You hear me gladly, and I hope that you'll get what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with asking people to come to hear the preaching or asking people to come and meet with us. That's nothing wrong with that. Many people come like that, get saved, and God blesses it. That's just His will and appointment, how God sets things up. But God never intended for His body to measure on that. He said to measure on Christ. And the message was Christ. That was what it was. Amen. He said, listen, He even said God don't dwell in a temple made with hands. The Jewish people believed in them temples. They had temples they met in. But when the Gentiles come along, they didn't have a temple. They didn't even have a synagogue. They was heathens. They was not connected to them. Amen. There was not. They did not have that. Amen. They just glad, thank God, to get an invitation. Amen. Thank God that grace would come. They'd be forgiven. Because they knew they wasn't covenant people. They knew they wasn't commandment people. They knew they was outside this thing. So it took, thank God, the goodness of God. Paul said, lo, I go to the Gentiles. What was the message in Galatians chapter 1? Paul said he got it by revelation. It wasn't taught by man. He got it from God. That's how he got it. I didn't go, thank God, to some man to teach me this gospel. I learned it, thank God, 3 years out there. Amen. In Arabia and them places that I went. And God taught me then. That's why He said it was my gospel. Amen. Then in chapter number 2 here, Titus stands. Amen. And brethren, he said he hadn't been circumcised, but he still had the same saving faith that the Jews had. And brethren, that's where it departed. Right? That's where the division came. But they saw that this was real. And what they do, they give him the right hands of fellowship. And said, this is, you know, we recognize this. And Peter was sent to the circumcision, Paul to the uncircumcision. But neither one really mattered when it come to the gospel. And God, it wasn't that. It was the cutting of the heart. It's where it's sown at. Amen. It's where it's cut at. It's your heart tonight. And everything. We're not religious tonight. Even though Paul, thank God, said pure, James said pure religion, none defiled before God the Father is, but a visit of the fatherless in their affliction, them widows in affliction, the fatherless, because that was pure religion. Amen. That meant that was pure piety, or them things that we do as people of God that we have from heart. Even they said, don't forget the poor. That was things you just did because it was right. But we're not in a religion, Paul said. Even testified one time, I was a strict religious man. And we know religion is a man. Of the commandments of men, how many have we heard of the commandments of men tonight? They say these things, but it's only built up by their own opinions or their own preferences. And you cannot live like that. I can't live like that. It's not on preference tonight. My preference is my preference. And your preference is your preference. Everybody, he said, receive Him in the faith, not the doubtful things, but to receive. It's not about them things. It's not about who eats meat and who don't eat meat. Thank God, it's all the body one. And brother, tonight, thank God, the message. Amen. Wasn't the church. It was the church with the message. Amen. It wasn't inviting somebody to the church. The church was out there telling them about Christ. And upon that, they came in the assembly. Upon that, they joined the assembly. I still believe this. I know it's new ground for some. But they never had a church role, far as I know. Upon their baptism, they was in the church. Upon regeneration, repentance, and faith, they were baptized openly to confess what God had done within them, to identify, thank God, with what Christ had done for them. And he died, thank God, out of sin and live unto God. And therefore, they became members of that body, if you want to use that word, because of their faith and their baptism. Thank God, but listen, it wasn't baptism that saved. It was faith that saved. And faith is always the way, amen. And see, we've got off track in these days. And we've got that mentality, you know, that the gospel's only preached in the building. And the gospel's preached more outside the building than it is in the building in the New Testament. They went abroad everywhere preaching the gospel. Amen. Them people that you talk to down at the grocery store. And I'm using the word preaching. I believe preaching is a proclamation. I believe it's under the anointing and power of God that you declare. That's a declaration. It's not an invitation. The declaration becomes the invitation. You can't invite somebody that God ain't inviting. Amen. But we do invite people, thank God, to hear the gospel. Amen. But we can't do nothing no further. We're only gospel witnesses. We're ambassadors. That means we're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter where we have. Amen. It's not putting on church clothes, coming on a sitting on a church pew, and brother, that's not an ambassador. An ambassador is somebody out here in the world. In fact, Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You can't escape that fact. Amen. God didn't put us in a place to only be around saved people. We're going to have to be around sinners. Jesus come and ate with them. Jesus lived his life for them. Amen. He died for them. Amen. He died for a sinful man. And tonight, it's not that we get involved in sinful things, but at the same time, we're here to help sinners. We were sinners. We still are sinners. We fall short. We're not lost sinners, but we are saved sinners. Amen. We are. Well, brother, the Bible said we still fall short. It's just the grace of God. It's Christ that upholds us, thank God, tonight. He's the only one. But the thing of it is tonight, if we ever get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight and get our mindset, thank God, to know, brother, that we are his ambassadors. We are in the ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is that we're always, thank God, in the ministry of trying to get people to hear the gospel. Amen. And that's what it's about. Amen. I've said this and I'm telling you tonight. Brethren, this Bible has been taught wrong, and I've even taught some things on only what I knew, and God blessed it because it was a pure motive. Amen. It wasn't error, but it wasn't, it's just, amen, we preach these things. Amen. Thank God for the people of God. Thank God for the assembly. But brethren, tonight, there's more to it. Amen. There's a world of people out there, and people say, well, I hope one day that when I go to work, amen, I won't be around a bunch of sinners. Listen, friend, he don't want you to be, thank God, listen, and by everybody believes the way you do. He wants you to affect the people you're around. The Bible's not the light of the world. It's light to our heart. We're the light of the world. Amen. He said, let your light so shine before men that they might watch, see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Has anybody got to see Jesus unless they see him in us? Amen. And that's what it's about tonight. The whole new, you take the New Testament. When these people got saved and these Jews repented and they took the Messiah, I mean, and he took them and he pricked them in the heart and they got understanding this is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. And brethren, they was baptized and they started meeting every day. Amen. They met daily. Thank God. And brethren, they did meet in the temple then. They did meet from house to house. But the thing of it was about Christ. It was new to them. The apostles got up and orated that doctrine of truth to them. Amen. They didn't have, thank God, a New Testament Bible. They didn't have this. They had some Old Testament scripture, but the New Testament apostles, brethren, they told them, they said they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine.
and continuing in fellowship and prayers and breaking of bread. And listen to me tonight. I hope you understand that I'm not preaching against things that we do. I'm trying to give you the truth. Listen, everything they done together. They didn't have children's church. Have mercy on us. Why would I send a child back yonder to hear somebody else when there's preaching going on here? You can do what you want to. That's what I know people don't like that, but it don't matter to me. God put one church together. Amen. The body is believers. Young people ought to be in here. Thank God, friend. All this stuff that's going on in the name of God. Amen. All these games and gadgets and all these things that we got to have down. It's not no good, friend. It's a formality in these days. It's let them do this and that. And brethren, they need to be where true worship is. Thank God when the brethren is put in the, thank God, the sifter of God, the only thing that come out is what the Holy Ghost done. Amen. It's the only thing that's going to come out. You put it in an average church, and if you can't have all these entertainments and all this stuff today is going on, amen. All it is a motivational speech to people to try to get them to do something they can't do. It ain't no good. Motivational, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher, amen. I'm not Osteen, thank God. Amen. I'm not trying to pick on him. I don't even know the man. But I wouldn't go to that. Amen. I'm just bit the way I am. I'm not trying to motivate you tonight. I'm trying to pray to you that God help you in learning and understanding the will of God for what God wants for the church. And brethren, listen, this is not just the only church. Amen. The church really, when it's called up, it's one. Amen. It's one, friend. He ain't gonna say, now Westside Baptist come up. Now Vision Baptist come up. Thank God, now this church come up. He's gonna say to every believer, come up. It ain't gonna be, thank God, all the Baptists, amen, the Methodists, amen, that's right, the Pentecostal, it's got to be one born again church, amen. That's right. I fall on bad ground with some people. I'm not a Baptist brider. I don't believe Baptist is the bride. I believe everybody is saved by the grace of God through the blood of Christ. Amen. And listen, they preach water baptism. I don't have no problem with that. But I'm telling you one thing. Water baptism, it ought to be administered. It's an ordinance in the church. And we ought to do it. Amen. If you're not baptized, amen, you ought to be in obedience to Christ and showing you're walking in a new life. Amen. But the thing of it is, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Paul said that. He's preached the gospel. Why? The gospel will get them saved and then they'll see they need to identify with Christ. But first things first. Amen. People say, I said, you've been saved, been baptized. I said, well, that ain't going to help you. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you what, Christ can. And that's the answer tonight. And Paul's saying here, he said, the building's you. You're the building. You're the temple. What did he say in the book of 1 Corinthians 6 when he's talking about all that sinfulness? Amen. And he said, flee fornication and all that. He said, know ye not your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. He said, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Jesus come for people. Every person in here is important to him. Every person. Amen. I see people struggling outside here. It breaks my heart. Because I want to help them. That's my whole desire, to help them. I want to help people. Whether they're red, yellow, black, or white. I want to help them. I know there's some people you can't help. But there's some people you can help. And the testimony of Christ was, as Brother Shank preached the other night, thank God, my friend, thank God, when that man was in that ditch and beat up by them thieves, the religious crowd went by him. But Jesus, thank God, the type of that man that went to that man and took him up and picked him up, put oil and wine in his wounds, and praise God, took him himself and put him on his beast and took him that in, and he paid to take care of him. And he said, and what did he say? He said, who is my neighbor? Who is my, that's what they said to Jesus. He said, who is my neighbor? He said, that man down there in the ditch, go help him. Amen. And what did he say to Levite priest walked on the other side and they wouldn't even go over there and help that man? Is that the way the church is? Is that the way we've locked it up? Amen. We've made our little group that only this is the only people we'll help. But brethren, that is not the gospel. The gospel is every man, every woman, every boy and every girl. Why did he say going to all the world? At that time, that was the world. The Roman world. I mean, them, even in that time, I mean, Rome, it was a governing body. And go into all the world. Go. They ain't gonna like it, but go anyhow. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That's what he's saying. Go into that world. That's where your world is. Go to it. Thank God. Preach the gospel to every creature. Let them know about me. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's what the whole thing is. Why is the church so quiet tonight? And brother, we'll criticize, and I do it, and we'll criticize easy believism, and I'm against it as much as anybody is, but they are out there doing something, but brother, it ain't the right thing. And we need to go out in the love of God and tell people about Christ. That's what they did through the book of Acts, and I'm telling you this, and I know some preachers disagree, but it was men and women. They held men and women in prison. I'm not saying women are preachers, but they were true witnesses of the grace of God. The woman at the well said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they came into the city and they heard Jesus herself and got right with him. And I'm telling you, you can use anybody who's got the Holy Ghost in. And brother, I'm telling you, there's a lot of youngest in that. Amen. Their mama couldn't preach to them, but she sure could pray with them. And she could talk to them about Christ every night. And it sowed the seed deep in their heart. And the word of God was preached. And they got born again. Amen. That's what he said about Timothy, really. He said, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice had that faith, and I believe it's in you too. And he said, you've known the scriptures from a child. His daddy was not a Jew, he was a Greek. Brother, you don't tell me a mama. Listen, I'm telling you, you can talk to me all you want to. I know God uses the preaching of the Word of God without a doubt. But there, you can't prove to me, brother, that the mama in that child's life is the one that, thank God, forms that life. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in the spiritual way. That gets down and prays with them youngins, raises them youngins, teaches them youngins. Amen. Why did he say, what did the older women teach the younger women? What was it? Love their husbands, love their children. Wasn't that what they taught? I mean, that's what they're supposed to teach. How do you teach that? You teach it by example. You don't take a Bible, praise God. I don't want to get in trouble tonight, people, but I'm just being honest. These women meetings, all it is a bunch of women up there trying to preach to one another. That ain't no good. If they can't hear it from me, how are they going to hear it? I'm talking about in the church now. I mean, that lady right there's the man. Huh? Ain't that right, Miss Taylor? Right there's a man. Amen. That's it. Praise God, the preacher. Amen. I'm not saying women can't say something, but that ain't what that scripture means. It's practical things. But I tell you what, Aquila and Priscilla sat down with, with Apollos. What you saying, Brother Hyde? I'm saying, praise God, Priscilla, she was a good woman for God. Yeah. I'll tell you another one was a good one for God. Lydia was a good one for God. You go back and read the history on these people. And look at them women that love God, how they affected people by the way they lived and loved. That's right. I know some people disagree with that. It's all right. Mary Magdalene was one of the best disciples he had. Read it. What's a disciple? It's a follower of Christ. As a believer, a follower of Christ, well, every time you saw Jesus, thank God some people said, she's at the cross. She's the first one at the tomb. Amen. Listen, he cast seven devils out of her. This woman was a good woman. Phoebe was a good woman. I mean, all through the scripture, God used women, but they were called men to preach. He didn't call women to be a preacher. He called her to be a witness with her mouth. Amen. Maurice Massey, he told me that Bible teacher up there at Woodleaf School, she had an effect on him teaching that Bible. That's what he told me. I'm just telling you what he said. I know we got to put God in our corner, but God ain't in no corner. He does use preaching. Somebody said, you believe you're going to have to hear preaching? Yeah, I do. He said, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He said, he manifests his word through preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall I preach except to be sin? I mean, brethren, that's what the book says. But there's got to be some balance and understanding, and God have mercy on a body of believers that think only certain people can do it. Brother, He never called anybody, thank God, not to do something for Him to bring glory to Him and get the gospel out, friend. And that is the duty of the church. Amen. Sure it is. Amen. Praise God. I thought there were some women, thank God, if they had joined the Pentecostals, they probably could have been a good preacher. Amen. I'm just picking with you. Amen. I'm going on with you. But I thank God for the church. And here's the thing. What I'm preaching is this. Realize what you are. You're the temple. You're the building. Can I give you this? God never intended for the New Testament church not to realize that it's His people. He always intended to know that His church is His people. I'll say this again. God put me here as a pastor to teach, preach, whatever He wants me to do. But I'm telling you this. Brother, the Holy Ghost is the only God we got. I mean, that little old girl right there, Miss Tasha's God, and these other little ones in here, they need a guide. They need a daddy and mama guide, and they need a pastor guide. Now, brother, listen. I mean, when Kayla was 5 and 6, I mean, you had to tell her what to do. Ain't that right? How old are you now, Kayla? 27. You don't have to call her at night and tell her to brush her teeth. Should we not mature? Do you see where I'm coming from? I'm not holding you hostage as a pastor and saying you've got to listen to me. That's stupid. You ought to listen to God. I mean, you're not old enough in the faith. I mean, that's why he said I can't speak as you as somebody that's mature, but under carnal. You're babes. You ought to have done been further than this because you're carnal. That means fleshly. That means you think fleshly. He said, I can't speak to you like that because you're babes in Christ. He said, I can't even give you meat. There's things that I know right now. Thank God this church can take. Amen. There's some things, brother, that you've got to feed it a little along. But I found this to be true. Don't hold this against me, okay? The people that's been raised on it, thank God they'll eat it. But the people that's been eating something else, they won't. It takes them a little while to say, wait a minute. I don't know about that. Amen. But listen, brother, there's maturity in these things. I mean, why am I here? Why in the world God put a preacher and pastor in a church? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For edifying the body of Christ. Amen. You know what I'm trying to do in this place? I'm trying to get you involved so you'll do it. I ain't talking about preaching. If you're a preacher, preach. I'm talking about being involved. This ain't a theater, praise God. When you go to a theater, you sit in the seat and you look up there at that screen. We ain't having no screen neither. Amen. We ain't having that. That ain't happening. As long as I'm here. Amen. We don't need to read the words on the screen, and we don't need the songs up there, and we don't need to tell somebody to tell you when to clap and when to shout. We ain't messing with it. Have mercy. Ain't Holy Ghost ain't in none of that. He ain't in formality. He ain't going through forms and all this stuff. That's what the Baptist Church has got involved in. I ain't in that mess. I ain't getting involved in it. But what am I here for? I'm here, thank God, that you might get mature enough. You don't get it wrong. You don't need me like you used to. You fitly join together and the body's functioning. You don't have to call me and ask me what kind of car you ought to buy. Buy what the Lord tells you. I don't care. I can understand a 17-year-old boy, if he don't have a good daddy that tells him things, and call me on the phone and say, hey, preacher, I mean, I don't mind anybody calling me, asking me something, but I'm just saying at some time you grow up. The church has got to grow up. Amen. That's just part of it, Brother Jonathan. Amen. I'm trying to give you something that you can grow up in. mature, know how to act, know how to take things that somebody says from a pulpit that we don't agree with and don't blow out on him. Listen to him. You might be wrong on some things. I could be wrong on some things. I know some things I'm not wrong in, but there's some things I could be. When I'm preaching tonight, I'm not. I can take the book and prove it. The church is a body. If you don't use your muscles, they're going to get weak. What you talk about your daddy not being able to function with his muscles. You know what it's like now at 62 years old to do something? I picked up a motor one day. I didn't think it was as heavy as it was over 100 pounds. And I mean, I done all I could and I got it on the back of the truck. You know what happened next day, don't you? My arms were sore. Yeah. Some muscles you don't use. If you don't use spiritual discernment and grow in grace and learn these things of God, because He's your teacher. He's your teacher tonight. The Holy Ghost, your teacher. We are teachers of the gospel and the truths of God, but you won't learn it unless He teaches it to you. It's good when your good wife come to me that night and said, you know, Keith told me some things that really helped me. I said, praise God. Amen. All of us is one. Everybody's one. Everybody. We're not nobody up here and down here. There's no such a thing. God have mercy. He's the reverend. God have mercy. If they don't call me preacher, I'm going to get mad. Wonder why Paul didn't get mad. He said, I'm Paul the apostle. Called to be an apostle. He put it on what God done for him. He never put it on what he had. When he say, I'm the least of all the saints, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm a wretched man. How many preachers get up and tell you that? Not many. But I'm telling you this tonight, brother. When God builds His body, or brings forth His body and builds in His building, it'll always be to edify you. It'll always be build you up. Not in pride, but build you up spiritually that you may be able to stand. One of these good people, that's up Miss Linda tonight, been fighting the battle, going through it. I mean, she's been going through it. There's no way. Listen, she couldn't sung that song like that tonight if she hadn't been through it. She could have sung it and it'd been good. But she sung it with heart. She sung it with heart. When you sung that song this morning, about them valleys. You couldn't have sung it unless you and done it like that unless you'd been through them. All them things you go through in life, God allows it because it's building you up. It might feel like He's tearing you down, but what's tearing you down is what's really building you up. And that's when He said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Amen. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul said, I'd rather bear the infirmity of that thorn that the power of God may rest upon me. That's what he said. And I can't say that because I ain't been through what he's been through. But God will give me grace if I do. That's the only grace I know of, Brother Todd. It's experiment. It's what God give you when you needed it. Amen. The handful of meal in the barrel was given when she needed it. That's right. Son, sometimes you wonder if you're ever going to reach your hand in that barrel. And when you reach it in there, thank God, you're thinking, is it there? And God says, it's right here. Amen. Put that together, thank God, and make that meal, amen, and that cake, and sustain off of that, thank God, as long as you can until it rains. And brother, you know how we've been there before. We just sustain until it rains. To God, raise a picture of revival in the Bible. You just sustain yourself till it rains, that God gives revival, amen, to a people that need it, thank God. We need it tonight, but brethren, we got food to eat, thank God, because He's blessed us. I thank Him for it. I bless the Lord's name tonight. Thank God for giving me these truths because I know it's right. And when you further your knowledge of God and what He wants for your life, you can go further with it. Amen. I thank God for it. Let's stand tonight. Let's have prayer. Ask God's blessing on it. Amen. Brother Hip, pray for us tonight.